This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 20 years ago, Mark Goodman was a cop, a sergeant in the Los Angeles Police Department. And one day, his boss asked him whether he knew how to use spell check on WordPerfect. Like I said, it was 20 years ago. WordPerfect. Anyway, he did. Shift F2, by the way. And that was enough to land him his first computer crimes case. 20 years on, Mark has worked on cybercrime with the FBI, Interpol, and the Secret Service, and he has written some of what he has learned in a book called Future Crimes. Mark, thanks for coming into the studios.
Pleasure's mine.
There is a quote from this book that I think puts this all into perspective. Never before in the history of humanity has it been possible for any one person to steal $110 million of anything, let alone concurrently rob more than 100 million people. So basically, we're done, right? I mean, there's no hope.
Well, there's hope for sure. But what we're seeing is a fundamental shift, a paradigm shift in crime. Crime used to be a one-on-one affair. Go out and buy a knife or a gun if you were a criminal, rob one person at a time. Now through technology, crime scales.
And we now, humanity, you say, have rushed headlong without a lot of self-reflection into this world where we click and Google and Facebook and live and you say basically die by the screen.
Well, the fact is that we've wired the world, which is awesome, but we failed to secure it. And that's a threat that's going to increase as we move forward. Every physical object is going online due to something called the Internet of Things.
Right.
Today, we use Internet Protocol version 4. We can support about 4.5 billion simultaneous devices on the net talking at one time. But we've run out of space. The same way New York City had to split into different area codes because they ran out of phone numbers.
Right.
The same has happened on the Internet. So we're launching Internet Protocol version 6. That will support not 4.5 billion, but 78 octillion simultaneous connections. And I had to look this up myself.
Yeah, please.
An octillion is 78 octillion is 78 billion. Billion, billion. To speak metaphorically, today's internet is the size of a golf ball. Tomorrow will be the size of the sun.
One of the things that I guess I came to fully appreciate in this book was the degree to which cybercrime and cybercriminals have become corporatized. I mean, they have structures and reporting requirements and the whole deal.
The modern criminal enterprise doesn't look much like Tony Soprano's organization. They have CEOs, CFOs, they have marketing departments, they do search engine optimization. They even have quality assurance. So before a piece of crimeware or criminal software leaves the crime factory, it's actually tested against 300 different types of antivirus software to make sure that the virus will survive and go undetected.
Here's the thing, though. We were promised a techno-utopia, right? I mean, forget paperless office, man. It goes way beyond that. We were promised paradise.
Yes.
And now it's turning out to be not paradise.
There's an ominous flip side of all of the technology that we use. I do believe in the techno-utopia. I believe very much that technology can be a driving force for good, but it's not going to happen automatically. Most people are sitting back and just using the technological tools that have been created for them by others. But they don't stop to think, what's really happening when I push a button on this screen or click on a link?
Is that because we don't want to know? I mean, I just want my stuff to be ready when I want it. You know?
I get the fact that we all just want it to work, and you shouldn't need a PhD in computer science to be able to use a telephone. But those people that are willing to put the time, energy, and effort into understanding how the technology works are becoming the new literate classes. Hmm. If we think back 500 years ago, it was the priests that could read. Yeah. They would interpret the Bible and tell people what God was saying. That literacy gave them power. The new form of literacy is coding. In a world where every physical object is becoming hardware or software, whether it be planes, elevators, cars, or laptops, if you can control that underlying code, then you can control the world.
What do we do? Right? Because there's a very serious temptation to stick your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 because if I ignore it, it won't hurt me.
There are many things that we can do. You were talking about techno-utopia. We can have a much brighter technological future, but we'll have to go off the current path. So I think we need to get much more serious about it. I'm working with the XPRIZE Foundation to create an incentive prize for cybersecurity. I also think that we should be creating now a National Cybersecurity Reserve Corps. We have reserve Marines, reserve police officers, reserve Army. The day of that cyber threat, when our electrical grids are commandeered and that big event occurs, we're definitely not going to have have enough people. The time to plan for a disaster is not during the disaster. Hmm. Only by acknowledging the risk can we move forward. So ultimately, by providing this information, people will leave empowered in terms of protecting themselves, their families, their children, and their businesses.
It's a book called Future Crimes by Mark Goodman. Mark, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Kai.
There is more from that interview. Enough cybercrime facts to make you really, really paranoid, I got to tell you. It's at marketplace.org.